Buddy, okay. I want to ask you all a frank question. Okay, we asked the outreach group yesterday a frank question, and the question is: do you think you can live without a mirror? What do you think? Can you live without a mirror? The women are staring at me. Can we live without a mirror? No. Can we live without a mirror? I guarantee you 100% all of you have at least had one look at the mirror today. Right? Am I right? Yes. Okay. So let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 23 to 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Right? For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you. We pray you would speak to us. We need you, Lord, this morning. We need your grace, we need your love. We are needy this morning. We pray you would minister to us. You would cover us, Father, with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been thinking about this subject of blind spots on Wednesday evening. Pastor Shala spoke about this message, which is there on the site, and I would encourage you to see it. And he was talking about blind spots. And what is blind spots? There are things in our lives which we cannot see, right? But which God sees and others see, which we keep doing and we are not aware of it, but they are not right in God's eyes. That's a blind spot. Is that clear? That's why with our eyes we can't do a selfie of our own face, correct? So when something is wrong, somebody will tell you something is wrong. You got grains here or something, or mirror, right? So those are blind spots. And there is something in the Bible which we are taught and which we are convinced about. And that is positional truth. And positional truth is the things which I become a beneficiary of, for which Jesus Christ died on the cross, and because of those things, I become a beneficiary of certain things. And those things are part of my position. When I believe in Jesus as my Savior, they are given to me forever. I don't feel it, it is declared in the Bible. For example, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is positional truth. That is judicial forgiveness. Which means God has judicially declared me in his courtroom when I believed in Jesus as my Savior, that from that point onwards, you can never ever be my opponent or my enemy. You are my son. You are what? You are justified, and therefore the enmity is over. You have peace with me. I don't feel it, but it is what? Declared in the scriptures. And there are many other things like that which are known as positional truth in the Bible. I'm forgiven. That's positional truth. Now, God also desires that we not only understand positional truth and embrace them by faith, but God also desires that my experience would match my position. So in Philippians 4 it says, be anxious for nothing, with thanksgiving and prayer let all your supplications be known to God, and what? The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is that peace of God? That peace of God is experiential truth. It is something that we experience. So here we are here as Christians. We are here as Christians and we believe in positional truth. And that's the foundation of our faith. But God also desires us to have the right experience. Because the right experience is also His blessing to our lives. Are you understanding? Are you understanding this today? Now, the key is this. How can my experience match my position? Is it really possible that what God says, these beautiful words, joy unspeakable, abundant life, peace that passes what? Understanding. Right? A love which is unconditional. Can I ever show that love? Are all these things possible? Right? Are all these things possible? And yes, they are. And how are they possible? They are possible when we come to the Word of God and we read it and we receive it as the mirror of God's Word. And I want to encourage you today and myself that when we come to the church and when we come to hear the Word of God, it is not going to be comfortable, but it is definitely profitable. Are you understanding? That Pastor Brian said, I think, in the last Sunday's message. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the first way we all assume in our natural living and in our living as Christians that what? We are doing okay. We are right. I am right. Everyone else is wrong. Correct? But when you come to the Bible will show you God is right and you are wrong. So the first way where a blind spot is exposed to me is through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. In 2 Kings 22 and 23, I think, King Josiah was a young king. He did what he knew, what was right. And then at a point, they find the book of the law in the temple. Right? And they get it and they read it. And as soon as they start reading the book of the law, what happens? What happens? He puts sackcloth and ashes. He starts repenting. He says, oh, everything we have done is what? Wrong. Everything we have done is wrong. So in 2 Kings 23, we see he takes action on it. He removes all the false gods. He breaks all the false idols. He removes all the false priests. He reinstores the Passover. The Bible says there was no king like him which turned to God with all his heart. Right? What is that? What is that? The Word of God. What is it? The Word of God is the mirror. The Word of God is showing me who God is, what He has done for me. And I would say in some times where I am wrong, it's God, the Word of God is not showing me all the time. It's sometimes when I am wrong, I can what? I receive it. And when that change happens, what happens? There's transformation. The second way a blind spot is revealed is through the man of God. Right? You have 2 Samuel chapter 12. You have David and Bathsheba, the story. And David waits back very cleverly, commits adultery with Bathsheba, very cleverly gets Uriah. Uriah doesn't go to her house, very cleverly sends Uriah and gets him killed. And then the next chapter we see Nathan comes and gives the parable. The rich man had many sheep, the poor man had one sheep. The rich man took the poor man's sheep. What does David say? Catch the man. What does Nathan say? You are the man. David said, I have sinned. And Nathan said, nevertheless, the Lord has taken away the sin from you. It's very important to have a man of God over our lives. Are you understanding? It's very important to have a pastor over our lives, because he will point out to us where we are wrong. Correct? And when we accept we are wrong, that is where our deliverance is. Now this is important. When you look at David's life, you know, you see very cleverly he organizes everything. Without touching Uriah, he kills him. Are you understanding? Nobody, only Joab knows. Nobody else knows. Correct? Right? And sometimes we can fool our way through people. We can fool our way through clever conversation, through phrases, through clever theology. But you know what the last verse of 2 Samuel 12 says? But that which he has done displeased the Lord. See, church today is not about social acceptance and getting by in the church. Are you understanding? Church today is a personal relationship with the living God, where we walk before him and we fall before him. And even if we fall before him, he is able to make us stand. And the third point is blind spots is with the people of God. You see, Solomon's son Rehoboam takes the throne. And the people come and say, your father, you know, we were in bonded labor. The labor was very heavy. Please make it light. So he says, give me some time. And so he consults with the older men who were with his father. And the older men say, if you treat the people gently and you speak nicely to them, they will be your servants forever. Then he consults with his young friends who grew up with him. You know what his young friends say? Come on, you got to show them your guts. Right? And then he speaks roughly. And what happens? The prophecy happens. The people revolt and the kingdom divides. Only, you know, Judah is left. Because he did not heed. He did not allow his blind spot to be corrected. In closing today, if you and I want to experience this blessedness which God talks about in the Bible experientially, we are already positionally blessed. It cannot happen if there is no humility before God. It cannot happen if we say, or if I say, no, I am right all the time. No, I have nothing wrong in me. I am doing okay. It cannot be. We have to come before the word and say that God, you are right. And your word is right. And you made your son wrong. So that we may be what? Right. Have the righteousness of God. Isn't that beautiful? And it is in that understanding do we really grow as a Christian son and a Christian daughter before our Father. So in closing today, let's go beyond this whole organized Christendom and Christian behavior. Are you understanding? Let's go beyond that. It is about who God is and what his word says. That's it. And there is no condemnation this morning. There is absolutely no condemnation. But there is definitely the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That in those areas where God is trying to put a light in my life, trying to get my attention, and if I keep rejecting it and say no, then I will not have this blessedness that God talks about. But if I accept and say, yes, Lord, I am wrong. Please help me. Please forgive me. Please restore me. Please give me your grace. That is where what happens. We experience what? The blessedness of God on the earth as we live in a sinful generation. Isn't that beautiful? And I think that is the most beautiful aspect of the word of God. What is it? It is not only a mirror, but it's a mirror which fixes us. It's a mirror which heals us. It's a mirror which what? Restores us. It gives us the peace of God. It gives us joy. What? Unspeakable. A love unconditional. It gives us a purpose which is what? Eternal. Right? So let's be encouraged today. Don't worry about admissions, college, school, whatever. Don't worry about it. Let's be encouraged that. And this, what I'm saying, and I was talking to a brother and I said this, that for me as a pastor, the temptation is whenever I read the word, I'm always thinking about what message to speak. You know, may not be for all, but for me. Rather than, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? And I want to close with this. The word of God is personal. Each one of us is personally related to the Lord. Okay, none of you can say the Bible is for the man of God. No, the Bible is for each one of us. It's what I do with it which makes the difference in our lives. Amen.